need you all to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believed. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process. What could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your ass, there's lots you can do. You wanna learn something and watch how I move. But they don't wanna do shit. They wanna be spoon-fed like a little baby. That shit is crazy, boy. Change up your mindset. I get 3 days worth of work done in just one. 7-2-7 mindset is the hustle for us. You get it?
Hey, I'm Alex Corona.
And I'm Jamie Ferks.
And this is 727 Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something that
is on everybody's mind. Is now a good time to buy? And?
Credits.
Credits create doubt.
So what credits are is when you start asking for money on top of discounts. They want closing cost credits. They want some credits to fix their house. They want credits for their kids' college fund. All kinds of things.
Back to, is now a good time to buy? Well, absolutely now's a good time to buy. Now's a good time to buy for so many different reasons. One being that you're gonna not pay the piper on putting offers in $50,000 over list price like it was during COVID. Yes, are the rates higher? Absolutely. Well, guess what? Those rates that were in the 2% and 3%, they were never in like over, I think they said 60 years. If you Google when was the rates the lowest, it was during COVID. Is that going to happen anytime soon? Probably not. So with the rates kind of where they are, and actually they're pretty reasonable, and the price is not being totally nuts, it is a perfect time to buy. Because if the rates do go down, what happens? Everybody's out there wanting to spend their money. So it is definitely a good time, but how you structure your offer is so important. Structuring your offer on a lots of different terms. We do get a lot of listings, so we do understand that there are offers coming in, and when there are several, you're going to take a look at a bunch of different things. One, of course, being the price. Two, what kind of credits that they have, if they're asking for anything, what kind of financing that they have, and then also if they have a house to sell. So you want to make sure that you structure your offer as best as possible. We've had, surprisingly speaking, we've had some people that were structuring offers where they have a pretty good down payment. Someone has 20% down or 25% down and then are still asking for a closing cost credit. Those who are on the other end, the listing agent's gonna ask themselves, well, if they have all this money down, why do they need a credit? So in my mind, credits create doubt. So I think that it is best to structure your offer accordingly so that you don't create any doubt that you may or may not have the money.
Like Jamie was saying, it's not just doubt in her mind, it's doubt in everybody's mind that has this deal going. It's doubt in the lender, it's doubt in the seller, the realtor, the attorney, us, everybody. Everybody starts to think, maybe this person doesn't have the money. And how I explain it to people sometimes, it's you want them to pay you to buy their house. Does that make any sense? I just broke it down for one of the clients that's asking for a pretty big chunk of money off on the house. And I explained to him, listen, the house, yes, it's at $500,000. At the end of the day, they're gonna end up with less than $440,000. And if they take your number, they're in the 420s. And then after the repairs that you're asking, maybe even in the 14s. So, I mean, how much money do you want off? You want $80,000 off? And you're over here not making the deal over $10,000, yet you want them to give you $70,000? Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense to me. $10,000 in a payment changes your payment right now, maybe about $60. And $60, and you're not gonna be there 30 years. So let's say you're there even 10 years. That's 120 months. 120 times 60, that's $18,000. And that's including interest, and that's after 10 years. If my math is right off the top of my head. So
that's about right.
It's not that big of a deal, especially if you're not going to be there the whole entire time. So and like Jamie was saying, it's a fantastic time to buy. You know, we're buying a lot of properties right now. We're, you know, disposing them pretty simple. It's not hard to sell them. And there's still multiple offers happening. But what would happen if those rates drop? Just think about it. There's going to be thousands more buyers. I was going to say hundreds. There's going to be thousands of people. It's going to be an open house at every single showing that you go to. You're not going to be able to get any discounts. You're not going to be able to get any repairs done. You're going to have to pay over the appraised value, money coming out of your own pocket, on top of your down payment, on top of your closing costs. They're not going to give you any credits. You're going to have to waive inspections. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Or you could buy the home now. You can get a discount. You can get some repairs done on the home. You can get closing costs paid. And let's say, you know, worst case scenario, the rates go up, then you're locked in at this lower rate. And let's say best case scenario, the rates go down. Now, guess what? We refinance the home, your payment goes down. So it's literally a no-brainer. I'm going to give you another example. So I use this example to show people, and let's say the difference, and I'm going to go high with this right now. So let's say the house is about 300,000, right? Maybe your houses that you're looking at are even higher. Let's start with a house that's $500,000. What would you think the payment is from last year at the lower rate to the new rate? I'd say I'm gonna use a high number as well. I'm gonna use $800 difference, which I know it's not. So we're gonna say it's an $800 difference from last year until this year. So we're gonna use 800 times 12. What does that equal? $9,600. Do you think that that house that you're buying is not gonna go up more than $10,000 this year? Absolutely. Zillow and all these numbers and all this data that I've been looking at is averaging that every home in America, so this is averaging the whole United States, including some of these states where the values actually drop. So where we're at, it's gonna be even higher than 10%. They're saying that it'll be 7% across the board that your property's gonna go up. So your property at $500,000, 7%, that's $35,000 that your property would go up in just 1 year. So you're gonna pay $9,800 in payment, but you're gonna make $25,000. I mean, where is the, you know, I don't wanna buy? You're actually missing out, you're losing money. And then next year, you're gonna have to pay that $35,000 more for the home and at a higher interest rate. What's that payment gonna look like then? Or better yet, stay in your rental. You know, pay 100%. Pay 100% of whatever it is that you're paying in rent, because every single cent is going out the window. Not one of those dollars is gonna be repaid to you or given back, or you probably won't even get back your deposit. So it's very important that you know things like this, that you're able to break it down. And let's say it's a less expensive house. Let's say it's a $300,000 house. We still use a high number of $500. 5 times 12, 6,000. Again, 7% on a $300,000 house, 21,000. So do the math, $15,000 that you're losing out of your pocket because you can't make the move now and you wanna wait. Or are you waiting for the market to tank? How's that working out for you? It's been years that I've been hearing this. Oh, I'm waiting for the market. Oh, in 2026, are you really gonna wait till 2026 to find out what's gonna happen and throw away years worth of rent? I don't know. So you know, there is ways that we've been working with our clients. They say, oh, what if I don't find a home? You know, I'm looking to buy a house. What happens, you know, if I sell mine and I don't find one? There's ways that we can show you on how to, you know, we can rent it out. We can, you know, that way you could qualify for that home and another one. And then you, when we're ready to sell yours, we can. There's different ways that we can go about it to make sure that you don't end up homeless.
The clients who make the decision to buy real estate when there's not a total frenzy are the people that are gonna reap the benefits the most later down the line, because you're gonna buy at a good price. You're gonna not sit here and think of what's the rate. You're gonna buy something that's within a comfortable monthly payment and structure the deal to get the property. Like Alex was saying, you don't wanna lose out on a property for small, $10,000, $50 in the payment, because someone else out there is gonna go ahead and bite the bullet and pay that just because they know that it's a great deal and that they're making the move to buy it. You're gonna be able to see the equity later.
And how much is your time worth? You know, $50, come on, a month?
Well, you could be spending the next like weeks or months trying to find something else that you like. Just make, if you know that you like it, don't let $10,000 stand in your way, even $20,000 stand in your way. It's okay to go ahead as long as the payment's comfortable and you're good with the property, the location. If you like it, just go ahead and buy it. It is definitely, absolutely a good time to buy. There are still people putting their house on the market. We're still going on listing appointments every single day. They are still putting it out there. So you just wanna make sure that once you find that something that you like, don't lose it over a little bit of money, because no one cares about the principle of you trying to save money. Absolutely not.
And stop taking it so personal. You know, these people are taking it personal. Like, oh, they don't want me to buy it. No, they don't want to give me the money. It's nothing personal. This is business. We're talking about money here.
Well, okay? I think a lot of that has to do with if you are using an agent, somehow how the agent presents it to you. So I think a lot of it has to do with who it is that you're choosing to do business with. Like, whenever I present it to a seller or a buyer, I tell them, look, they're not trying to be malicious here. No one's trying to be vindictive and, oh, they're just trying to be playing hardball. Those days are just over. It's business. Seller wants to sell for as high as possible. Buyer wants to buy for his best price. But when there's competition, that just goes out the window. If there's competition of other people that are looking at the property, you got to pay what's fair. And if you're doing any financing, that's going to be protected by the appraisal. So there's ways to double, triple check that.
When I'm buying a property, I always ask my client, what is it that you're looking to get for the property? And I try to get as close as I can to that number or to the number. I'm not trying to make $1 million off every property. I know I'm gonna make money. It's okay if everybody makes money, what I'm not trying to do is make anything personal or lose my cool over some negotiating. And it literally blows my mind how some people think.
Some of these agents, they be getting all mad.
Not just the agents, the clients.
Right. So they get very, very interesting. But definitely a good time to buy. If you're looking for someone who fits in the payment, do it now. Don't wait till everybody's out there looking in the spring or whatever, when everybody is trying to get out there and buy, like right after the Super Bowl or something like that. If there's a house on the market that you like right now, now's the time, 100%, as long as it fits within your payment, but structure the offer as competitive as you can so they say yes to you, because the hardest thing about getting an offer accepted is having the seller take yours.
You know, you got to go back to, you know, when you got to think about your local drug dealer, right? Does this guy want to front you? No, it creates doubt immediately. You call your guy and you're like, hey, you know, I need a bag. Can you front me till Friday? That guy's thinking right off the top, he's not going to pay me. You know, how many of you guys have not paid him? That's why it creates doubt.
I don't do that.
Any type of credit?
I don't do those things.
I hear you, but maybe you used to. No, but I used to, but I never asked for a front, but I would get very, very suspect when somebody would. They'd ask me and I would be real suspect and wondering, do I want to front this person? Because a lot of times, if they don't have the money now, they're not going to give it to you later. They're going to use that money to go buy another sack. Definitely, it creates doubt. So any type of credit that you're trying to get, make sure you really need it. That's it. I'm Alex Corona.
And I'm Jamie Burke.
We'll see you next time. 727 Podcast.
You ought to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believed. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process. What could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your ass. There's lots you can do.